Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes. And the standing between the living and the dead prayer, devotional, memorial, evangelistic service, family members. I am told today is service number 498. Is that correct? Yesterday was 497. So today is 498 for the overall standing between the living and the dead service. Beloved, this is Daniel White the Third, and this so happens to be Sunday morning, early in the morning. It is 5:52 here, and yes, we have devotions on Sunday before church. I know that you're going to church, but you need to pray with your family and read the Bible with your family. In other words, you ought to have church before you go to church, even if you're going online in your pajamas. You still need to go to church. And you still need to have family devotions. As I was saying, this is the White House daily reading of the chronological Bible, which apparently many of you love, and we thank God for you. If you will, episode number 303, where I simply read the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day in chronological order. This unique viewpoint, this unique arrangement, allows us to read the whole Bible as a single story and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history. Today we are reading 1 Samuel chapter 18. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are weak and feeble, but we know that you are strong and mighty. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give us your strength for the journey today. And we pray, Lord, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Holy Father God, I cannot thank you enough for allowing me to be here once again, not only having devotions with my family, but with thousands of other folks around the world. And thank you for the technology that you have wrought. And Holy Father God, we praise you, I praise you, and I thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy shown through your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you. For him, for your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for salvation and spiritual, family and life, mental and physical protection and provision, financial and material blessings that you have bestowed upon us down through the years. I thank you, Lord, for the millions and many and manifold blessings. Help us not, Lord, to continue to ask for more blessings and not pause to thank you for the millions and many and manifold blessings you've already bestowed upon us. All of the answers to prayer, all of the miracles. For Lord, we're sitting on those miracles, or we're standing on those miracles. And those answers to prayer, we wouldn't be where we are today if you hadn't answered all of the little prayers that we have prayed, middle-sized prayers, big prayers. And Lord, you came through. And so we are here today standing on the promises of your holy word, looking to you. And Holy Father God, we individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us, Lord, of our sins, our faults, and our failures, and all unrighteousness, all ungodliness of thought, word, and deed. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us, Lord, of our sins, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive others in a very real sense. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us all, and fill us all afresh and anew who are saved, who are born again, who have believed in Christ in a very real sense. Lord, fill us all with the fullness, the power, the unction, and the anointing, the freedom and the liberty of your Holy Spirit. Put a guard at our hearts, our minds, our tongues, our attitudes, our temperaments, that we would not sin against you throughout this day, that we would walk in the power of your Holy Spirit, not fulfilling the lust and the foolishness of the flesh. And Holy Father God, Lord, it is not popular, but I do pray this way because you have led me to pray this way, and I do not believe I would be where I am in you today if I had not started praying this way a long time ago. Because your word tells us we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. And so, Lord, on this beautiful Sunday morning, a day that the devil attacks hard all churches and ministries and truly called preachers and their families. Some don't realize it, but that's what's going on. The devil hates the furtherance of the gospel. And the devil hates for us to pray and to preach your gospel and your holy word. And so, Lord, we realize that and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias, Lord, out of the lives and hearts and minds of the people who have that problem. Lord, here and all around the globe, cast out the demons of hell out of the lives of people who have that problem, who name the name of Christ, rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts from these people where the devil is influencing them and using them to try to hinder your work. And Lord, we pray that you would give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And not only deliver us, Lord, from these demonic spirits, and deliver people from these demonic spirits, but Lord, we pray that you would deliver the people from the demonic sins that are spawned by these spirits, the demonic spirit of hindrance, distraction, betrayal, and sabotage done by people who don't love you, who don't fear you, who don't respect you and your holy word. So, Lord, I pray that you'll drive those demonic spirits and sins from this place and from all other places that are glorifying your holy name and lifting up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Holy Father God, I pray that you help us to do our part. Place upon us, Lord, the whole arm of God. Surround us with the band of your holy angels and a wall of your holy fire. Cover us and cleanse us through the blood of Christ. Make us whiter than snow. And Holy Father God, help us to resist the devil today. For those of us who are saved, save those who are lost, even in churches and ministries and so-called Christian families. And Holy Father God, we pray that you will help us to watch and pray and to do as you told us, lest we fall into temptation, because the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak. Help us, Lord, to be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. Lord, not only now, but throughout this day. And Holy Father God, we pray that you deliver us from temptation, evil, and sin. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, to live right, to think right, and do right. Not only people outside of the home, but inside the home. And Holy Father God, I pray, grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to do that, to love right, live right, think right, and do right. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Help us all, Lord, to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent. And to get back to you, our first love, in a very real sense, in the way that you want us to, by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Holy Father God, as we continue in prayer, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for the salvation, Lord, of those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. Heal those who are sick. Comfort those who are grieving. Lord, in this world, in the country, in our communities, in our churches, in our families, and in our individual lives. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that, Lord, you would indeed deliver us today from all of our distresses and afflictions, cares and worries and anxieties, and fill us with your peace that passeth all understanding, your joy unspeakable. Help us to keep our hearts and minds stayed on you. Keep us, Lord, therefore, in perfect peace. Lord God in heaven, for those of us who are saved, deliver us, Lord, from all tribulations and troubles and trials and temptations and tests and tensions. And Lord God in heaven, we pray on this beautiful Sunday morning deliver us also from all spiritual and mental, physical and emotional, family, financial, student loan debt, student progress problems for the young people who are still trying to march on. And Lord, we pray that you deliver millions of families and individuals from housing crisis, food crisis. Utilities crisis, medical crisis. And Lord God in heaven, we pray that you would bless and protect our family and all other families that name the name of Christ. Protect us, Lord, from ourselves, our flesh, and the devil. And protect us, Lord, from the demons of hell and from evil people in the family, evil people in the church, and evil people in the world. Place, Lord, upon us the whole armor of God. Surround us with the band of your holy angels. Cover us and cleanse us through the blood of Christ. Now, Holy Father God, grant me your energy and your strength, your unction and your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit, as well as the rest of us, to read your holy word, to understand your holy word, to comprehend your holy word, to meditate on it, as I did yesterday and the day before, because of your Holy Ghost and your grace and the extraordinary power of your Holy Word. It is indeed life-changing. And I thank you for the experience with your Holy Word. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing, Thus saith the Lord, at 1 Samuel chapter 18. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his ten thousands. And Saul was very wroth, And the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him, and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me, and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. And David said unto Saul, who am I, and what is my life, or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king? But it came to pass at the time, when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel the Meholathite to wife. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. And Saul commanded his servants, saying, commune with David secretly, and say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servants spake those words in the ears of David. And David said, seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? And the servants of Saul told him, saying, on this manner spake David. And Saul said, thus shall ye say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines, to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men, and David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, once again, I'm just blown away by your holy word and the principles and precepts and lessons that we can learn and apply to our lives. In this reading, Lord, I marvel at how humble David was. And I would imagine that's another reason why you called him a man after your own heart. He was so humble. And when he could have been very arrogant and had a bad attitude, he was very humble, extremely humble. And in the overall reading of your holy word, Lord, you have shown me that your providence is at work in everybody's life. You have people to be born at a certain time, and then you set their lives up in the way that you want it to be. And if they are obedient, they will succeed in life. If they're not obedient, they will suffer. So Lord, I just give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. Help us to apply your holy word to our lives, to teach it unto others, to preach your holy gospel from it for your glory, praise, and honor. In fact, I pray that people right now will listen to the gospel, hear the gospel, read the gospel, and be saved today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends and foes, and even foes in the family, and the standing between the living and the dead service, family members. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the Scripture and the Sense podcast, episode 888, where I simply read the Word of God and give the sense of it based on an authoritative commentary source such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary and or the Matthew Henry Commentary. This podcast is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 8, where it says Ezra and the Levites read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly. Pardon me. Read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. The aim, therefore, of this podcast is that through the simple reading of the Word of God and the giving of the sense of it, it is my humble prayer that the church would be revived and that the world would be awakened. Today, beloved, we are reading Zechariah chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Holy Father God in heaven, thank you so much for your rich and powerful and deep and amazing holy word. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Grant us your unction and your anointing to understand your holy word and to comprehend it and to use it in our lives appropriately. And help us to esteem it highly. And then, Lord, help us to get it out to people who need it. In a teaching, discipleship teaching way. And also in proclaiming the gospel to the lost who need to hear it. To be saved, because you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Today, beloved, we're reading Zechariah chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Once again, verse 1, open thy doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour thy cedars. Howl, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen, because the mighty are spoiled. Howl, O ye oaks of Bashan, for the forest of the vintage is come down. There is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled. A voice of the roaring of young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled. Dear friends, I just read in your hearing Zechariah chapter 11, verses 1 through 3 from the Word of God. Now here is the sense of it. Here is the understanding of it. Today, with the help of the power of the Holy Spirit, first and foremost, and let's look at the Bible Knowledge Commentary of Dallas Theological Seminary, Dr. Walvoord and Dr. Zuck, editors, teachers of the Word of God. This lamentation portrays the impending devastation that will result from the people rejecting the Messiah as the true and good shepherd. The language obviously involves personification, but the references to the cedars of Lebanon, oaks of Bashan, and lush thicket of the Jordan suggest devastation of the entire land of Israel from the north to the south, including, of course, its inhabitants. All three areas, Lebanon, Bashan, and the Jordan, were heavily forested. Shepherds would wail because their pastures would be devastated. Even lions who lived in the thick woods around the Jordan River would roar because of the destruction of their living areas. The general description of the devastation is to be taken literally. However, some writers have viewed the trees as representing the glory of Jerusalem, particularly the temple, which was constructed in part of lumber, While this is doubtful, the general period of the destruction, whether literal or figurative, probably includes the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple by the Romans in AD 70. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we thank you for a better understanding and comprehension of your holy word. Lord, help us now to remember it, to meditate on it throughout the remainder of this day. And Lord, for those of us who are saved and filled with your Holy Spirit, this comes a little bit easier. But Lord, help everybody to do it who is born again and saved. We give you the glory, praise, and honor. And help us, Lord, to be about the business of preaching your holy gospel from your holy word according to the scriptures and teaching those who get saved by taking heed to the gospel. We give you the glory, praise, and honor indeed. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for our sake. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, standing between the living and the dead, family members, as always, we read from what I call the family verses, the verses that God caused to be put in the Bible at this one place, where God chooses in the New Testament to speak directly to husbands and wives, fathers and mothers and children, telling them, not suggesting to them, not advising them, but telling them, giving them commandments that he wants us to understand and to do. Otherwise, the family is not going to work. And I do not care really what kind of system you're trying to do in your marriage and family. If you don't work his system, it's not going to work. You may have your little thing going on, you know. But if you don't do it God's way, it's just not going to work out. And it's not going to end well. And you're not going to be successful. And you can try to fake like it and act like it all you want. Many, many Christians, evangelicals, Baptists, Charismatics, Methodists are good fakers. And we all know it. We know this because after looking all lovey-dovey for years, all of a sudden, you're in the funny papers because you're getting a divorce. I still cannot get over a couple. They just look so wonderful together. God had blessed them tremendously. They started Pure Flix, which has become successful. And right at the beginning of this plague, they announced a divorce. And all kinds of evil has come out of that. And it is quite amazing. It's amazing how people can look so wonderful together and smile for the cameras and tell people and act like they're so tell people they're so in love, and they act like they're so lovey-dovey, when they're not. And surprise, surprise, the whole world is shocked when they file for divorce. See, that these things, in the words of James, just ought not so to be. And may I say something about the King James Version? I believe it's the simplest version to read. I do. If you can't read and understand the King James, I believe that you just lost and on your way to hell. Because see, that's what I couldn't understand it because I was lost. When I got saved, the scales came off and the light was on. And I've been reading it ever since. And I believe, after looking at other versions, I believe it's the most understandable and simplest out of all the versions. They've tried to make their version simple and read better than the King James, but it doesn't work. That's just my personal. Now you do what you do you. But as for me and my house, we're going to stick with the old King James. Now God speaks to fathers. And the King James, it's old school English. Pardon me. Back in those days, and even up until recently, mothers would be included here. However, at the same time, God is making it clear that not only is the father the head of the wife, he is the head of the entire household and will be held responsible and accountable for the entire household. And we have too many men today who don't want to take on that responsibility. Sorry, gentlemen. It doesn't matter whether or not you want to take on the responsibility. You have the responsibility and you will be held accountable. See, that does not matter to God whether or not you want the responsibility and you want to shy away from it. Same thing goes for mothers. I said this before and I'll say it again. God expects, and children, wives expect, and children expect, and mothers expect, the husband to rise to the occasion. It doesn't matter whether or not you feel like it. That is the husband and the father. It doesn't matter whether or not you don't feel like you're worthy or whatever is going through your brains. See, none of that matters. It's just like if a person commits a crime and they say they didn't know it was a crime. Well, you're still going to suffer the time. You're still going to suffer the punishment because then your ignorance does not change that, your punishment. We can't go on that. We can't go by that as a society. The crime has been committed. Well, the same thing with fathers. Well, I didn't know I was going to be signing up for all this. It doesn't matter whether you didn't know it. You got it. The ball is in your court. You're the husband and you're the father. And with that comes responsibilities and obligations and commitments that you would be wise to fulfill. And now that you know that you did not know, you need to find out. You need to listen to the word of God and find out what to do. Because in God's sight, you're in charge. He has delegated that to you. The wife, the mother, is to help. And, as I've said before, yes, the father is the chief parent. Where he says goes. But God, I believe with all of my heart, God, the husband, the father, and the children expect you to rise to the occasion. Children are far smarter than what you think. And some parents think children are dumb. And that's just so dumb to think you dumb thinking that. They're not dumb. They're not dumb. They know what you ought to be doing. and they're looking at you straight. Let me tell you something. And I'm not comparing children to dogs, but even a dog will look at you strange if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You understand me? The dog knows you're wrong. See? And you're not fulfilling your role. Well, children know so even more so than what you think. They may not know so in the first few months and years, but after a while, by and by, they're gonna have your number. But you're not rising to the occasion as a mother or as a father or whatever the case might be. And let me say, and when I say rise to the occasion, that includes all that I said before. You didn't know, or you don't want to do that. You don't want these responsibilities and all that. That does not matter. You must rise to the occasion and be the father and be the mother that God wants you to be. It doesn't matter how you feel. Do you feel like getting up and getting ready for work and going to that crazy job every day? No, but you do feel like picking up the check, or having that check to appear on your phone, in your bank account. Is that not right? Okay, so it doesn't matter how you feel. You better get up and you better go to work if you want that check on Friday. Same thing here. And if you don't do this well, you're going to have regrets until you go to your grave. Because you get no do-over in raising children. God gives you the privilege, the blessing, and the joy to raise children for Him. It is a privilege, a blessing, and a joy. Don't you ever forget it. Will it be difficult? Yes. Will you have to do some things you don't want to do, like rebuke and punish and chastise your children? Yes. But it's worth it all if you do it right. And there's a great blessing waiting on you if you do it right. But if you don't rise to the occasion, your children will know that. And you will suffer the consequences for not doing so. Ephesians 6:4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If they do well, you pat them on the back. If they do evil, you whip them on the butt." You have to do both. And it works, by the way. And the reason why your children did not turn out well is because you didn't do what God told you to do. You thought you were more loving than God. But the God I know is loving, and He will chastise you when you do wrong, and He'll bless you when you do good. That's just the way it works, folks. So, with that said, let's move on to something else we do in every service. And that is pray for others. Holy Father God, we pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation and spiritual. We pray for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved, for the healing of the sick, for the comfort of the grieving and mourning. And we pray for their salvation as well. And we pray, Lord, that you will have this to come to pass according to your will and way in the world, in this country, in our community, in our churches, in our families, in our individual lives. And Lord, we pray for a few people by name that are hurting because of lost loved ones due to the coronavirus plague. And Lord, we pray for the family and friends of California Fire Captain W. Chris Mertz. We pray for the family and friends of Kentucky Fire Chief Ricky Collins. We pray for the family and friends of Ohio resident Dan Fulton. We pray for the family and friends of Ohio resident Marjorie Fulton. And we pray for the fire and friend. We pray for the family, rather, and friends of Louisiana Fire Chief Bruce Cutter, and thousands and millions more. And then, Holy Father God, we pray for all people who name the name of Christ and say that they believe in you. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and to get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, we pray that you will have mercy and grace upon those of us who name the name of Christ, Lord, and please forgive us of our wicked, evil, and ungodly sins of disobeying your great commandment and disobeying your great commission. Help us to truly repent, Lord, even in this day and time, and do your work and do your will. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all government ministers. Lord, we thank you for them, all of them, from the president on down, for they are your servants. You're the one who created government. Pardon me. Lord, you're the one who created government for our good, and I thank you for it. Lord, we pray for the salvation of the president and all other people who are in government. Revive those who are saved. And Lord, I do pray that you would cast the devil and the demons of hell out of their lives and fill them with your Holy Spirit and lead them to follow your instructions and your holy word. For you have the power to turn the hearts of even wicked kings to do right. And so we appeal to you. Let your will be done. If you've already made your decisions about what you're going to do, Lord, help us in your church. Lord, help us as your children to adjust to you and not try to make it something else. Lord God in heaven, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Lord God in heaven, we pray, Lord, that you would protect all of your persecuted believers around the world and give them your grace in their trying hours and in their dying hours. And now, Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for some prayer requests that have come in. First, we pray for the thousands who have sent in prayer requests. Thank you for the privilege to pray for them many times, and thank you for the thousands of answers to prayer. For we pray based upon your holy word. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now for some new prayer requests. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family, life, financial, material, physical, protection, mental and physical blessings upon all of these dear people who have sent in prayer requests in the thousands. And we also pray, Lord, that you hear and answer their prayers and hear and answer our prayers for them. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. Now we pray for Inez specifically and a few others. We pray for her to grow closer to you, for her daughter Consanti and her son-in-law Anton to accept Christ as Savior. Deliver her niece who is suffering from depression. Heal her nephew from mental illness. For Javon, Tina, Rick, Gino, Shania, Kasanti, Mirren, Anton to give their hearts to you. We pray for Pastor Bushibi once again. And this is a pastor who you have touched his heart to contact us many times for prayer requests, as he is a pastor of a growing church and ministry. And we thank you for him. And thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering his prayers and our prayers for him. That's one of the reasons why he comes back every so often with another major prayer request. And we count it a privilege to pray for him. Now, Lord, we pray for Pastor Bushibi and the church and the ministry there. Please replace the water well, the pump and electricity meter, office copier, and desktop computer that got blown away in a storm. Help them to continue to depend on you. We pray, Lord, for Raju. Please bless him with the job you want him to have. We pray for Angelica. Please be with her. We pray for Katarina. Please improve, develop, and deepen the relationship between her and Dijon. Make them a strong Christian couple and to get married soon, according to your will. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all of the people who have gotten saved through the preaching of the gospel, through this ministry. And Lord, we pray for them, help them all to grow in the faith. We thank you for the thousands who have come to know your Savior through the preaching of the gospel from this pulpit. And Lord, we pray that you'll help them all to stand strong in the faith. We pray for Hazel, Nathan, Alexis, Leah, and Elijah. And Lord, we pray now for the people who have recommitted their lives to you. Lord, we pray that you'll help them to grow in the faith as well. We pray for Melanie, Mattian, Eric, Shingyam, and Akasha. And Lord, help them all to grow in the faith. And we thank you for the thousands who have heard the preaching of your holy word and who have come back to you. They were already saved, but backslidden. And they came back to you, or something else was going on in their lives. And we pray that you'll help them to stand strong in the faith. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen.
Now, dear friend, if you are with us today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world," these are the words of Jesus Christ, "God so loved the world," that means that if you are in this world, God loves you, "that he gave his only begotten Son," God gave up his only begotten Son to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for your sins. He shed innocent blood on the cross for your sins because Jesus Christ never committed a sin in word, in thought, in attitude, or in deed. Yes, you can have a sinful attitude. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son up to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for our sins," however, our lies, our stealing, our lusting after people and things, coveting after people and things, what other people have, our disrespect and dishonor and disobedience and having bad attitudes towards our parents, our taking God's name in vain, and so many other sins. These are just five of the Ten Commandments. If we have broke one of them, we have broken the whole law according to the Bible. Jesus died for all of our wickedness and all of our sins. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," Jesus Christ, he was speaking of himself, "that whosoever believeth in him," the word "whosoever" means anybody at any time. The word "believeth" means to trust in, to have faith in him, Jesus Christ, "should not perish," that is, you will not go to hell, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today so that you can be saved from the torments of hell. For the Bible teaches that once you die unsaved, if you die without believing in Christ, you will immediately wake up in the torments of hell. If you want to avoid that and wake up in heaven and in the arms of Jesus Christ, if you will, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ down here. For the Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, there's that word again, whosoever, anybody at any time, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. It's very simple to be saved, very easy to be saved, contrary to what people will tell you. You don't have to be in a church building to get saved. You don't have to join a church to get saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to get saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to walk down the aisle. You don't have to do anything to get saved but believe in Jesus Christ and call on his name and pray and ask him to save you. And he will do so, my beloved. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. So believe in your heart. Only you can do that. That Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Pray with me the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I acknowledge that I am a wicked sinner, and I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have indeed committed some of those sins that were mentioned earlier by the preacher. And Holy Father God, I admit that I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my crimes and sins. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. And Lord, I do not understand it all, but I thank you for it all. And I believe it all. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. And change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And help me to truly repent of my sins past. And to truly repent of my sins present. And to turn from my evil life. And to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that I just shared with you, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life. And that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, verse 9, and this is what the book title is based on. I am the door, Jesus Christ said. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.